It's wonderful to be here with you at Faith Baptist, and I've been looking forward to and praying for a great opportunity of sharing in the Word and, of course, rejoicing in the goodness of God at this time of the year. And I've always enjoyed the fellowship with Pastor Frank and the folk over here, and it's just a real joy to be with you this evening. Am I not loud enough? Oh, all right. Well, we'll crank it up a bit for you, okay. And I know most of you probably came for the food tonight, but I realise that I'm here to share a devotional, but I'm also aware that Don Lidster, the master craftsman of Christmas puddings, that's really the only reason my wife came with me tonight. She's already waiting to get down to the... No. We seem to have lost direction in many places concerning the great truth about Christmas. And I want to share a portion tonight from the scripture. You've probably seen this if you took time to read the little Christmas text that's on your goodies box on your table. But it comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Excuse me while I put my cheetahs on. Oh yes, it's still there. I'm really looking forward to January after camp. I'm getting my first hearing aid. My wife's looking forward to it too. She won't have to repeat herself so much. I was told women say twice as many things as men do in a day. My wife told me that. I said, what'd you say? It says in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Let's pray, shall we, as we have a time in the Word this evening. Father in heaven, Lord God, I pray that you would bless our time, that you would give us a heart and an ear to hear. And Lord, as we enjoy these songs of Christmas celebration, so often we can sing without fully even understanding the greatness of this gift that was given, the gift of your Son. Even as the prophet foretold, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, Lord, I pray, bless this time in the Word this evening. Be pleased to meet with us. We pray and ask in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The word Jesus, the name Jesus, means Saviour, the Saviour of the world. This is the one of whom the scripture speaks whenever we sing concerning the he or the him or the one or the man. The true character of the story of Christmas is Christ, the Christ child. Many places you go, you'll find what we call nativity scenes. Little baby in a manger, and maybe some people with glowing heads, or you know, maybe they look like their hairstyle got out of hand, something back in the 60s like a gigantic coloured afro or something. And it's all very, very touching to the heart, but that's the beginning of the story and not the whole story. That same child that was born, it is God come in the flesh. It is God dwelling among men, and it is God who came into the world with purpose. The scripture says, for as much as the children are made of flesh and blood, he himself, that is Christ, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them that had the power of death and deliver them who all their lifetime were subject to fear of bondage. See, we all look at coming into this world with the birth of a child as a wonderful life opportunity, and we think of the life they're going to live. But the reality is, when you see the whole story of Christ in the scripture, of the prophecies of thousands of years before, and even in the years following him, it's very clearly taught from the word of God that Christ didn't come merely to live, but he came to die. He came to die. The life we saw live was merely a bonus. It was merely God's Son marking time, that just as surely as he came into this world in the fullness of time, born of a woman and born under the law, in the fullness of time, he went to the cross. And in God's time, he suffered and bled and died. And in God's time, 3 days later, he gloriously rose from the dead. And then some 40 days after, he ascended back into glory. This is that same one where it says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. But notice what the angelic herald gave in this annunciation. It says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Interesting enough, this morning our pastor was preaching on Joseph. And I'd been thinking and meditating and praying over this portion of scripture. And so here I am thinking he's going to be back in the Gospel of Luke, because that was our scripture reading at church while I was out strolling the car park and loosening up. And I come in afterwards and find here we are in this passage of scripture. And here is a very clear indication. It says his people. Of course, if you're strongly into the racism of the day, you would immediately think that, salvation is of the Jews. That his people are the people of Israel. But that's not what the scripture says. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. That's us. Psalm 100 says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It speaks of all mankind, not just Jews, not just whites, not just blacks, but all people in all generations. And when we come to the great coronation day up there in glory one day, we'll find that there are people there in their tens of thousands and thousands of thousands who are from every kindred, tribe, tongue and nation, not just Jews. He shall save his people from their sins. There we have the whole purpose of Christ coming. He said himself, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Who's lost? Some people look around and say, lost? I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am. This is Anderson Road, Faulkner. I know where I am. Do you know what lost is? My definition of lost is not being where you should be when you should be there. When I was a young policeman here in Victoria, stationed down in several places, but mostly in Carlton, Russell Street. But as a young policeman, I remember getting sentenced to 2 weeks at the Melbourne show. And I mean sentenced. It was hard work. It wasn't like going there when I was a yobbo teenager, you know, just to have fun. It was hard work. And it's like this, you see, parents turn up at the gate and they map out the plan for the day, and they say to little Johnny, now Johnny, it's 9 o'clock. The train leaves at 15 minutes past 3 o'clock. We're going to beat the crowds. We're going to beat the rush. You'll be back here at gate one at 3 o'clock. Synchronised watches. Have a great day, son. See you later. Now, $20 went a long way back then. $20 was almost like, well, I think back then the dole was only like $30 a fortnight. So a kid that got $20, he could get abducted. I mean, held kidnapped. You know, anyone that can give a 15-year-old kid $20 to spend at the Melbourne show must be rolling in it. Must be part of the Packer Brothers or something. And so off he goes. And he meets up with some friends, and he goes on the, you know, he goes on the Mad Mouse, and he goes on the Ferris wheel, and he goes on the Dodge'em cars, and then he's over here on the merry-go-round and the whirly-twirly and the Polar Express and all this. And then it's snack time. And we go and have one of those big, thick, creamy waffles and a big old chocolate milkshake and wash it down with a Coke and a hot dog and some hot chips. Then you get back on the Mad Mouse and throw up on everybody and go back and reload again. And, you know, just having a wonderful time. And it's 2 o'clock. And he looks at the watch. Oh, I need to get going. And so he starts to make his way out. But as he's going out, he stops for a moment because the wood chopping's on. And the chips are flying. And he says, wow, look at that. Oh, that is awesome. Oh, I want an axe for Christmas. This would be great. And then he starts walking again. And then he sees one of the exhibition halls. And they're giving out samples of chocolates and bickies and all. Oh, in one end and out the other with a belly full of bickies and chockies. And it's 5 to 3. And Mum and Dad and the rest of the family are down here waiting at gate 1. And where's Johnny? Well, he's just found another building filled with pinball machines. Oh, and he's got a whole pocket full of loose change. And so in he goes at 3 o'clock. And ding, 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 ding. He's having a great old time. And then he's on one of the shoes. Pew, pew, pew. And it's 3:45. And where's Johnny? He's not at gate 1. He's still in the pinball parlour. He's found the air hockey table. He's shooting hoops with some old friends. He's throwing horseshoes. He's just having a wonderful time. He's got little shooting gallery pinging off ducks all over the place. And it's 4:45. And the shekels are running low in the pocket. But Mum and Dad have already turned up at the local police house. And little Johnny lost. And he doesn't even know it. You know why he's lost? Because he's not where he's meant to be when he's meant to be there. Let me tell you something. His people... When the Bible speaks of his people, we need to realize God is our God because he is our creator. He is the one who made us, who sustains us. He is the giver of life. And you were made, my friend, with a unique capacity to worship and know God. But sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. The scripture says we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It was only recently that I caught on to the great truth of that verse from Isaiah. It says our righteousnesses, not our unrighteousnesses, our righteousnesses, the very best things we can do in the sight of a thrice holy God are offensive, obscene, objectionable. They are unclean. They are unworthy. The very best you and I can render to one another in the sight of God, it does nothing to redeem us. It merits no favour, no grace, no blessing, no promise, no salvation from God. He shall save his people from their sin. So here in this one verse, we see very clearly taught our condition, lost, guilty and undone, unable and unworthy to stand before a holy God because of our sin. And yet here we celebrate the birth of the very one whose whole purpose in coming was to save us from our sin. Paul wrote in the book of Romans and said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You understand the magnitude, the greatness of the love of this God when he loves us when we are so unlovable. I love my wife. I love Brother Frank and his tribe. I love this church, the people. I've known the Lidsters since very early on in my Christian life. I'll be 40 years old in the Lord that year, and I look so young. It's amazing. Clean living will do that for you. I knew Don Lister when he was just a poor, struggling Bulldog supporter. Sorry, he still is. But loving those that love us, loving those that care about us, loving those that have been good to us, isn't that the norm? Well, when were we ever good? When was I ever good to God? A profane man, an obscene man, a vile, drunken, sinful man, mocking God, shaming the name of Christ, taking that name that the Bible says, that name of Jesus, which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I didn't love God, but he loved me. And that's the greatness of God's love. Loving the unlovable. That's us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You realise that in that verse, when it speaks of perishing, theologically, if I can use a big fancy word, the word perish means to die in your sin. To die without knowing Christ as your Saviour. Without having God's forgiveness of your sin, which is only offered not through some church, not through some ritual, not through some religion, but through Christ and Christ alone. He alone shall save his people from their sins. And he extends to you and I this great free forgiveness of sins. And yet multitudes still die in their sin. Even though Christ said, you know, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Peter tells us in 2 Peter, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should die in their sins, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the wonderful message of Christmas is him, Jesus. The one whom the scripture tells us in John chapter 1, that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can I ask you this evening, have you believed on him? This is the decision that every person has to make for themselves. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I had a God-fearing old grandmother, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't get saved until I was over 23 years old. And I was a drunken hoon who'd quit the police force, went hitchhiking around Australia, looking for answers and couldn't even remember the questions because I was too drunk. And when God reached down in mercy and allowed me to hear the gospel and the great truth of this verse, he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Jesus shall save his people. Has he saved you? He has died for you. He is risen victorious over sin, hell, death, and the grave for you. But have you received him? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved? Do you know him? Would you know him tonight? Would you receive him tonight? Would you say tonight that this is the decision I would make? The greatest gift you'll ever receive is God's gift of salvation, God's gift of forgiveness, God's gift of eternal life. But not because of your good deeds or your good works or your good words, not because of the kindness of your heart, because of the rich, rich mercies of God. For the scripture says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, hath quickened us together, made us alive, the scripture says, in Christ. By grace ye are saved. Let's don't lose the message, the true message and meaning of the Christ of Christmas. He shall save his people. You are one of his people. Whether you like it or not, you're one of his. You hear about these scientists that say, you know, we can do everything God can do. If you notice, they haven't yet been able to invent water in substantial amounts. And yet you read the book of Job and you find when one of Job's friends starts talking about the great miracles and the wonders of God, he doeth wondrous things without number. And the very first thing he talks about is what? Rain. Rain. Now, we've seen a little bit of rain here the last couple of days. But then again, we're not up in Townsville or Ingham where Sharon comes from. They get 300 mils in a day. We get 15 mils and we're all crying. We need a decent cyclone and a wet season down here. I mean, I'm really into climate change now. God was into climate change. He said summer and winter, cold and seed time, harvest, cold and heat shall not cease. We have four seasons here in Victoria, sometimes all in one day. This is the one who did it all. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of whom Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Would you have him as your Saviour? Would you receive the greatest gift ever given? The gift of God's Son, and with him the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of peace with God, the gift of joy. It's one thing to sing joy to the world. It's one thing to sing and quote about peace on earth. But if you don't have peace with God, you will never have peace anywhere in this life or after this life. Without Christ, for he is our peace. That's why it's called the gospel of peace. But you have to make peace with God. And that can only be made through God's Son. What's his name? Jesus. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, thank you for that name that is above every name. Thank you for the precious name of the Son of God, who came into this sinful world and took upon himself our sins. As the Bible tells us, he bare our sins in his body on the tree, that you made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We thank you for the promise, the assurance. Your word tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord, thank you for graciously providing this greatest of all human needs, forgiveness of sin, salvation through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Continue to speak to hearts tonight and be glorified as we would obey the gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you for that message and that challenge. When we think about Christmas, I think about presents. I always like to get presents. Okay, I give them sometimes too. But imagine if you're a parent, and there are plenty of parents out there, and you go to an extraordinary length to buy presents for your children or for your child, and you wrap it up and you put it under a Christmas tree or wherever you may put it or present it to them. We normally wrap up our presents, but your child looks at the present and refuses to open it. Well, they'll never experience that gift. They'll never know that gift unless they choose to open it for themselves. And that's the condition that most of the world finds themselves in. You see, God at one stage asked his Son to come down to the earth, and he gift-wrapped him in a human body. He gift wrapped him and he presented him to us. And the condition most of the world finds themselves in is that they refuse to open up that gift. So if you haven't opened up the gift of Christ, if you don't know him yet personally, if you haven't experienced salvation, which is a gift, it's nothing to work for. It's not being a Baptist or a Catholic or a whatever denomination. No denomination will save you. No creed or no following rules and regulations. None of that saves anyone. Because the Bible simply says that we're all sinners and we can't work our way to God. So God knew our condition. He sympathised with our condition. And he said, you know what? I'm going to send a saviour to go down and save them. And he did. And he sent his son who went and paid for our debts and our sins on a cross. You see, you know why he died on a cross? Because he had to pay for me. He had to pay for my penalty. And he took that willingly for me. And all he says is, you ready to get your pardon? That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is the willingness to receive a gift. The greatest gift that the world has ever known. And our challenge is that we don't want to open it. So I'll challenge you this evening. If you haven't opened up that gift in your life and experienced what it means to be forgiven fully and to know eternal life and to have that guaranteed for you, something that no man can ever take away from you, then tonight's probably a good night to find that out. All you've got to do is just call him, receive him, believe in him. Simple as that.